Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. We have got the dynamic duo today. Dana Cadwell and Courtney Hopper are in the house. We run the Hustle and Gather podcast, a fantastic podcast. A lot of fun and a lot of great information. These are sisters, sisterpreneurs.
Sisterpreneur.
That's right, baby. They run multiple, they have event planners, wedding planners, consulting, speaking. Kind of got a lot going on, ladies. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're so excited to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys, like I hear all the stuff that you guys do and it gets my juices rocking because I'm all about people also. And sounds like you guys are all about people. You're in the people business. That's like the common denominator.
There are a lot of people in our business.
Yeah. Yes, there are. So naturally, people are your juice, I would think. I mean, you enjoy helping people. What are some lessons you've learned in that trait? I mean, I was just at a wedding this last weekend and man, you know, it's supposed to be a day of happiness, but you see just about you see just about every emotion in the book. You got people that are ticked. You got people that are to the moon happy, everything in between. How have you?
And you add alcohol onto that, it gets even better.
That's right. Little jungle juice in there.
That's right.
What have you guys learned about how to treat others and how to help others treat others in that process?
It's a really, really good question. I think, I guess I'll take this one, but I feel like the biggest lesson I learned, and it took me a while because we started when we were young. And I think being young, you think the world is all about you and it's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes. But what I have learned is 99% of the time, someone has an emotional outburst. It has nothing to do with you. It's normally something that's going on around them. It's, you know, when you think about the mom who's upset that the table setting isn't perfect, it's not about you thinking you're a bad planner or you're not doing your job. It's just the emotion of her child getting married that day, you know? So a lot of times you can take the heat, and we say it to our clients all the time, like, let me take the heat. Like, let me handle that emotional outburst and let them take it out on us because it's not personal to me. Like, I know it's not about me.
It's so funny. Cause like we've been together too long. So I was going to say, what I was going to say was, it's not personal.
Yeah.
Like, it's always about them. It's not necessarily about you. And you are like a safe place that people can like emotionally discharge on, and everybody needs to have a safe place. And on those days, a lot of times, like as a planner or as like in the venue, like we own a venue as well. So as like a venue person, like that's a safe place. Right. And so not to take it personally, I think, and we did take it personally
for a long time.
Yeah. But
it's hard not to.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we're already finishing together sentences. Man, that is a really good answer. And that could be used anywhere, right? I mean, we our personal relationships we have listeners on five continents, and they range from CEOs to 15-year-olds in high school. Everyone does. They want to take it personally. We talk about a lot of times the difference between mean and anxious. We always assume that someone's being mean, but kind of hitting on what you two just hit on, a lot of times they're just anxious. That's good stuff. Nice.
That's how I run our partnership, honestly. I'm like, she's having a problem. It's her problem. It's not mine. That's nothing to do with me.
Yes, but it took a while to get there. She used to think I was mad at her all the time.
Oh, yeah. She'd walk into the office. And we used to have this co-desk. It was like a big table, and I was on one side and she was on the other. So we were staring at each other all day. And she would walk in like upset about something. I don't know. And I thought for sure I had done something because I was receiving the, not the wrath, but the after effects of whatever it was. And so every day I'd be like, can I do something? Like, did I do something? Like, what happened? What's wrong? It was like a few weeks in. She was like, every time I'm upset, it is not you. If it's you, I'm going to tell you. But it could have been someone driving here on the way. It could have been a kid. It could have been my husband. It could have been anything. Stop assuming it's you. Like, well, I'm just going to assume that right now it's me as we're talking
like
about it.
That song is not about you. That's totally Courtney. Like, it's not about you. But I'm a highly emotional person. So I wear my emotions on my sleeve. You know what I'm thinking. I cannot lie to save my life. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. It's so I just assume it's not about me till she says it's about me.
Yeah.
Perfect. So which one of you is the morning person? The fun morning person? Are both you not morning people?
No, I am not a morning person.
Me neither.
Yeah, I think I need a lot of sleep.
Genetically, we need a lot of sleep. Like, we have a brother who also needs a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
It runs in the family.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Does it drive you nuts when you run into people that do jump out of bed just rocking and rolling? Does that get under you?
No, I actually prefer them as my employees. I am an on time person, but I normally start my day around like 8:30 is when I'll get into the office after taking the kids to school. But in the summer times when they sleep in, I'm there closer to 9. I don't love it. I'm like, don't talk to me. Like, my kids, like, we don't talk in the morning. We just do our thing. You get the grunts of get your shoes on, make sure your teeth are brushed, get in the car. But we're not like this. And my kids are like that. They're not like happy in the morning. We just all kind of function. But I love my employees that are morning people because they get here at 8. And I'm like, that's great. Mm-hmm. Like, you're right off the bat running, you know, you're perfect. not that. Yeah.
Do you guys feel, is there a job, maybe a little off topic, is there a job you feel like everyone should have once in their life to better prepare them for people? You know what I mean?
I think any like service public facing job, like whether that is like a waitress or you're like the checkout person at the local drugstore or at the grocery store, like any job where you have to serve somebody else that's not your family, not your people group, not your bubble, I think it's really a huge learning experience that everybody could benefit from.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I look at these people that treat other people like garbage, waitresses and hosts. And I'm like, those guys clearly have never held a position like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or people that are in management positions. I don't know. They just like, they forget that those people are human beings.
Yeah.
And I think too, like for me, and I say this all the time, is I can talk to a brick wall now. Like, I can find something in common with anybody. The person that I would even think is nothing like me, different views on everything, I can still find something in common with them and carry on a conversation for at least 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
And that's an amazing skill to have no matter what you do in your life.
That's really good. I love that. I think we're cut from the same cloth that way. Do you think that's because you've evolved, and this could be for one or both yet. Do you think you've evolved into maybe when you were younger, when you're younger, maybe the conversation was a little bit about us, and then you've evolved and made conversations a little bit more about the people across from you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I think even like business-wise, even not talking about like a 10-year-old, but talking about like 20-year-olds, for so long in our business, we were so like insular because we only really valued each other's opinions in a lot of ways, and everything that we needed or thought, it was kind of like this just circular thing. We didn't network a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't really look outside of ourselves. We just kind of went on our own trajectory, which was good in some ways because it gave us like some tunnel vision and allowed us to accomplish things. But we realized very early, probably like midway through our career, that, hey, like, we need to network. Like, this thing's going to get bigger and grow if we're going to get out and get other people's opinions and make it not about us, but make it about everybody else as well. And I think that we learned that skill at that point where it was like, all right, we got to get out. We got to network as a form of marketing and getting our name out there. And now Dana's like the president of our local NACE chapter. So the National Association for Catering and Events Professional. Awesome. I'm just the lowly treasurer.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
I also think that when you're young, the world is so clear. It's very black and white. It's like, you think you are right and no one is going to convince you otherwise. And I still feel like the world is pretty black and white, but I can appreciate and recognize the gray in it. And I think as you get older and you start experiencing different things and you interact with different people, it changes your point of view so much. Like, I can think about what I believed when I was 18 years old, and it's extremely embarrassing. But at the same time, I am proud of myself for letting myself to recognize that that's no longer a valid opinion, or that isn't actually how the world works, or the truth based on experiences I had after that.
Yeah, that is good. So I was checking, I saw a study, and it was talking about some of the biggest regrets people's biggest regrets. And there was a list of like 10, but career, romance, career was 2, romance was 3, and self-improvement was 5. I thought that was really interesting. What are some of the biggest regrets that have turned into positives for you two?
Well, that's a very deep question.
Like
biggest regrets that have turned, well, I mean,
like you've turned them into something positive in the moment, or you've sat there and you've dwelled on them for a while, but then you flipped it around and it really wasn't such a bad thing. It was a good thing.
Well, I mean, there's like many, many times that we've done things wrong or been in the middle of regret. But I would say even like if we just take it back to business and like our partnership, I mean, we went to couples therapy for a while. Like we didn't know if our relationship was going to like survive this business. Mm-hmm. And what felt very negative at the time, like before we got in business, I really felt like Dana and I thought very similarly. Obviously we come from the same backstory, and our life was taking a similar trajectory. So I thought that we thought very similarly. And when you get into like brass tacks and you're talking about business and you're talking about money and you're talking about like how you want your life to go, it was very clear that we did not think similarly. And it was like really like a shock, right? It was a shock to the system. Like all these things that I thought and believed actually were not the truth. We went through therapy. And I feel like I have learned to appreciate so much more how differently we do think, because I think that it doesn't necessarily compete. On some days it competes. But in the law, in the grand scheme of things, it, like we complement each other very well. And we're able to accomplish so much more because we view things differently, or because we think through things a little bit differently, and we're able to offer counterpoint to somebody's point and kind of think through something a little more thoroughly, I think, than if we were just of that same mindset. So it felt very negative in the middle, and there were some really ugly name calling, slamming doors, you could have my share multiple times over. That really ended up being like,
very true.
It's true. It's so true. That ended up like being a huge growing experience as well. Like even just figuring out who you are in a relationship, like multiple levels of relationship here, like sister, business partner, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah, but also then learning to then appreciate that person for their differences that they bring to the table.
Oh, that's good. That is good. Sign her up.
Yeah.
That is awesome. You're right. You can use that anywhere. Do you feel that I'm listening to you talk there. Do you feel like if, whether it be sisters or just, a couple looking to go long-term just in a relationship or business partners of any sort, do you feel like therapy should be something that should be proactive, like something you should do in advance rather than waiting till things start kind of going sideways? Do you think that would be a good idea?
So we actually just interviewed, I think our episode actually just dropped today with Nicole Lowe, and she really talks about the difference between therapy and coaching. And so therapy for us was necessary because there was a lot of baggage we needed to go through. There was hurt feelings, and understanding intention and whatnot was important. I think that if I look at a relationship that I feel confident in, but I want to go the distance, I think coaching is honestly a better path, because coaching is teaching you how to go through the transitions and the change, and just how to give yourself goals. And I think having goals as a partnership is important. But I think if there's like something rooted and deep that maybe doesn't bubble to the surface, but you can feel it, and I think I knew it, because it would just be one comment and I could then regurgitate a year of wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. And when you hold grudges and when you can consistently on a dime recount how that person has hurt you, you haven't dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't dealt with it, then you can't grow in that relationship. You can't move in that relationship. And that's when I knew, I was like, this is going to have a life expectancy. And for us, we always said our sister bond was more important than our business.
Right.
But in the middle of it, like everything we owned was in the business.
Yeah, it felt so like we were going to lose it all.
Say, but yeah. We were going to walk away broke, like we couldn't, we had to figure it out to get at least to the point where it was salvageable.
Yeah.
It ended up working out fine. So
We still vacation together, so. Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Mm-hmm. Not last week. One of us was on the.
No,
that's right.
Boo hiss.
She wishes I was.
I do. Yeah. It would have been probably more enjoyable.
I called you a dog off air.
He did.
Yeah. So.
It's in writing, actually. It's via text.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been documented.
Mm-hmm.
Could we create a list for entrepreneurs that are looking to start up, like a habits list of, like, could we maybe list like 3 habits, and not, and I don't think of habits. Have you guys read James Clear's Atomic Habits?
No.
The great book.
Okay.
He talks about habits and creating a list, and not necessarily good or bad habits, but effective, non-effective, or productive, non-productive.
Yeah.
Could you two create a list of 3 or 4 habits that the listeners should maybe put together before, like, they have to have these if they want to be successful. They have to have these mm-hmm. if they wish to have a sustainable that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Good question.
Well, I think off the bat, I think every year you should reflect, and every year you should vision forecast, like, as to where you want to be, where you want to go. We have long-term goals, but those long-term goals change yearly, because every year is going to throw you a curveball. And I think that if you are stuck in, this is my 5-year, 7-year, 10-year plan, and you're not flexible, that's hard. So I think talking about habits, definitely 100%, but they should be changed every year. Like, I think what you do should evolve with your business
mm-hmm.
first right. and foremost.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But having some kind of reflection is important. But I think time management, I mean, know how to manage your time.
Right.
As simple as
but understand that it looks different
yeah.
for different people.
Yes.
You know, like how I manage my time is very different than how Dana manages her time. And Dana mm-hmm. might look at me and say she's not managing her time, but yet I get my shit done, mm-hmm. right? And have life surrounding that, which I think is equally as important. So I think that knowing how you manage your time mm-hmm. and being okay that it may not look like everybody else's, because entrepreneurship, it's not like a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. It is a 9-to-9, you know, it's like a 24-hour deal, oh, yeah. honestly.
Yep.
So you can't really manage it just within those 8 right. hours a day. So,
and I think it's important on that same vein is to understand your life. So we have children. So my time management is very different from August to May than it is from right. May to August. And yep. even in the hot, busy months, like my kids have birthdays that are 4 weeks apart, and it's right around Christmas. So like the holidays are hard. And so I know that they're in the summer months, my time management looks very different because I have different goals for that time. And I also know that I need to get big things done prior to summer hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that it's not, a lot of people get stuck with on January, when like, okay, I'm going to do this. And every Monday, I'm going to do this from this time to this time. And it's just not practical. So understanding the ebbs and flows of your life, I think, is really important as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. Flexibility.
Flexibility.
That's a good one. Cool beans. We've got about 5 minutes left.
All right.
Tossing you to the curb.
Okay.
Kind of hit on it a little bit, but do you guys have some core values?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I usually talk to people about, you know, picking 3 to 5 core values and making sure all your decisions revolve around those.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have some core values?
Yeah.
You want to share those?
Yeah.
Honesty.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Honesty. I think that's the biggest thing. Even when you make a mistake and it's hard to admit it, it is hard to do it. But I've always found that when I approach a really tough situation with honesty and mm-hmm. transparency, it goes much better than I ever expected it to. And I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Even if it becomes contentious and it's hard and I have to eat crow or whatever,
right.
I can still put my head down on the bed and I can sleep at night. And that's worth yeah. so much more.
Yeah. Like even to the point that when I feel like I have a propensity to want to be dishonest, because I mean, when you're in a partnership, there's times where, you know, you're about to let your partner down and you're like, when mm-hmm. I say this, she's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And, or when I say I didn't do this, she's going to be pissed, whatever, that if I'm about to speak and my first inclination is to be dishonest about it, it makes me take a really hard look at myself. Like, what about the situation is making me uncomfortable? What about the situation? Is it me? Is it them? Is it like, what about it? And it makes me really examine it. And so I use it as a measure for if I should move forward in a conversation, in a decision, whatever. And I feel like it serves us really well. Yeah. And even like with employees, like we're like, hey, like we're not striving for perfection. You don't have to get it right all the time. You just have to be honest. And when we've had a couple of dishonest employees, and I really see it as a sign of insecurity and weakness. And we're not the micromanaging bosses. So you need to be very confident and a secure person to work for us. So if you don't have that confidence and security that, hey, like I messed this up, come to me and tell me about it. But your first propensity is to be dishonest. Like that doesn't fit within our culture. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So honesty is big.
Honesty.
Yeah.
That is a good one. You definitely sleep better at night. And the thing about the, you know, wanting to go the dishonest route, because a lot of people do that because they don't, you know, have those 15 seconds of courage to do the right thing, mm-hmm. is, you know, we can rectify a bad thought before we actually follow through with it. Like we all have that in our tank. Yeah. What are both, question for both of you, what are your superpowers? Like if you had to say, this is my superpower, what is this for you? You feel like it makes you, makes you successful.
Makes me.
Yeah.
Levity.
Courtney is 100%. I was going to say that being a smart ass, mm-hmm, like levity is my superpower.
Not taking things too seriously. Yeah. So being able to like have a top down approach and not getting really stuck in the nitty gritty.
She's really good at vision casting too. She has a, mm-hmm, good eye for the future, which is really helpful because I get stuck in the here and now, which I think for me is organization, like very like systems, SOP driven, you know, I always think this person's going to leave us at any moment and I have to be able to train the next person easily. Like that's,
Yeah. Well, that's a great balance. And it's huge to have a bestie and a partner that can be that balance for you. Cause you know, we're only as good as the people we surround ourselves with. And if you don't have people with you that are going to either keep you on the tracks or keep it real with you or help you be self-aware, you really struggle. That's good.
Yeah, but I kind of see it as like a bank CEO having a partnership with a hippie, right? So there's tension sometimes, you know, like sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
That's a great analogy.
But it's exactly what it is.
Bank CEO.
No, bro. Hippie.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. I had a thought and I just completely lost it. I'm still,
sorry,
still caught up on hippie. If you guys could say successful people have this in common, all have this one thing in common, successful people all have this one thing in common, what would that be to you?
My gut is saying tenacity.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say drive.
Yeah. Tenacity and drive. That's good. Yeah.
I just think I think that's our biggest struggle when we've hired people is they're so easily give up. When it just gets hard, they give up. And you're like, this is not this hard. Like, and even if it is to them, but it's like, just figure out how to push through and power through and think outside the box and rethink the problem, go around it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's it's a skill that's just lacking in so many people.
Do you guys, that is awesome. Do you feel that a lot of people struggle and want to cave quickly because out of the fear of disappointing someone? Like ironically, 100%. they should be pushing through it because that'll be impressive. Mm-hmm. But they want to cave because of the fear of failure.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, I mean, even just put it in simple terms of when you have a crush or you like somebody and that's not reciprocated, when you've put your heart and soul and everything into your business and it isn't reciprocated, like it's failing, it's hard to admit to yourself that you cared and you loved that thing so much that it's no longer, it's mm-hmm. just not there. So there's a lot of fear, I think, of disappointment and not rising to it and not something that you love failing, you know? Right.
I think it's scary to have big dreams and it's scary to put them out there because, you know, everyone has that like fear of failure or not being good enough or like even being held to the fire as to like what you said you were going to do, like, how is that going to be perceived if I don't meet this goal or this whatever? Right. So I think it is scary to have those big dreams and put them out there.
But I'm super curious. Do you think that people who were in entrepreneurs, let's say 30 years ago, prior to social media, had that same fear or was it as prevalent as it is now since you are like on like
display
on display for the world. Yeah. Yeah. Like, is it a different, is that more prevalent? I'm curious. If that's the case.
I feel like almost everything has had a highlighter put over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything's just so much more out there. It feels like, I mean, it starts early. You see it in 6U tournament baseball. Like,
that's true.
That's so true.
People going crazy that we couldn't make a play. The guy's 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it starts earlier. I mean, globally, people get so much more stressed out and have their lens in the wrong place. I do, personally. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
I struggle with it, like, for sure. I feel like no matter what, you're constantly, you have this, you're trying to take the temperature of the person next to you. You're trying to rise and be better. And you find yourself in that. We're not like super competitive people with people in our market, but you find yourself thinking like, why does that person have more followers? Like, why does this person get that gig? Like, you know, and it's, you feel ugly in the inside. You're like, oh, like, and so that's when I know I got to turn it off. Got to put the phone down and I got to call a friend and have coffee and realize they're just, they have the same struggles and they're showing you a highlight reel and it's not the reality. And I'm still great and amazing at what I do.
Yeah. I just think to myself that we look like a highlight reel to somebody else, though we're living it. Right. Mm-hmm. And we know it's not all highlights. There's a lot of low lights too. that so somebody else, this is their highlight reel. Yeah. This is their pinnacle. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's just all about perception. And how you feel at that time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think we all go through that. I mean, I kind of like you guys. I mean, I've had a lot of people on here that have been really successful and I mean, people that are just killing it. And then I talk to them, you know, a side conversation or I call them up or whatever. And I'm asking them questions really selfishly wanting to know, what do I need to do to be better? What do I need to do this? And they start feeding me all these stories about the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here thinking, this person's played in the NFL or this person's a big deal. Anyway, it's easy to caught up and not realizing that they're human and we all have feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, hey, we've got 30 to 45 seconds here.
All right.
30 to 45 seconds.
The final countdown.
Ringer. Yeah, that's right. What could our listeners do, 5 continent-wide, what could they do to out-improve their previous best version of themselves?
Out-improve the previous best version of themselves.
They want to become a better version of themselves. What would you suggest they do?
I personally am a very reflective person. So I think when I look at times when I have felt bad about myself or when I'm in a really low point, which I live a roller coaster of emotions. So I always like to look at it and say, is this because of an interaction with somebody that I should cut out of my life because they're toxic? Is this because I have insecurities I haven't dealt with? And I really try to think about what that is. And it takes me a while. Like, I'm not like, oh, I think about it when I'm like, this is the answer. You know, sometimes it takes months for me to get to the bottom of it. And it takes having hard conversations with people and kind of dissecting that. And sometimes with a therapist to figure out why I felt that way. And then hopefully try to not get into those low points again, essentially. Mm-hmm. But I think reflection is super huge. I think it allows you to really think about where you are and why you're there.
Yeah. I think on the heels of that, like when you're talking about reflection, is setting boundaries for yourself. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Mm-hmm. Don't do things out of obligation. Yeah. And because I'm
talking to me right now, by the way.
Yeah. Don't do things out of obligation. And because I think that the most boundaried people, I don't know if you've read like Brené Brown, you know, Unlocking Us and listening to her, like the most boundary people are the most compassionate and empathetic people. And I think compassion and empathy change the world. And I think that it starts with you putting up those boundaries and making sure that you're being your real authentic self when you're presenting it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to extend that empathy and compassion, and that makes the world a better place. So
that is good. Nice. All right.
I want to drink what you're drinking. You have so much energy on this Monday. Oh my gosh.
Ready to rock.
All right.
Opera Nation and Cadwell Nation on the screen in front of me. Life is good. Well, hey, you'll want to listen. How can people get a hold of you? I mean, they can listen to Hustle and Gather podcasts, and that can be their morning juice on the way in. What are some other ways?
You can connect on social media. So we are at Hustle and Gather, and we are at C&D events, and we are at the Bradford NC, all those things. Mm-hmm. And they all have corresponding email addresses that are just that too, like www.
Right. We'll make sure we put all that stuff in the notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we'll include that stuff. So I am so grateful to have gotten to steal some time from you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. It's been great.
You bet. Make it a great day.